We have three songs.
All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. We just want to say welcome back, everybody, to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We're going to go over sing some hymnals. And if you would please do me a favor and turn with me in your brown hymnals to page 461. The first song we're going to sing is titled The Solid Rock. And praise God, we're going to have a good time. Unfortunately, we don't have the acoustic electric pickup working in my guitar for those of you online, so you're just going to have to bear with our voices. I know, what a shame. So do our best here, and and we're going to have a good time. We're going to play it, but we'll do our best to try to match the tone. Amen. So bear with us, but we're going to go ahead and sing The Solid Rock. Amen. On the one. No earth or hell case soul can move. I rest upon unchanging love. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
All other ground
is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Midst all the hell I feel within, on His completed work I lean. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other sand is sinking sand. All other sand is sinking sand. Oh, amen. On the third. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest upon unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. On the fourth. His oath, His covenant, His blood supports me in the sinking flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All right, on the fifth. Sorry, give me 1 second, guys. I trust His righteous character, His counsel, promise, and power. His honor and His name's at stake to save me from the burning lake. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. On the last. When I shall launch in worlds unseen, oh, may I be found in Him, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen and glory to God. Amen. All right, friend, let's go ahead and turn our hymnals now to page 321. 321. Would you please join us at page 321?
Oh, gosh.
We got a countdown from Brother Kwame. Because he came here on time today. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Power in the blood. Amen. Power in the blood. Oh, wait. Sorry. Wrong key. All right. On the one.
Oh, would you be free from your burden and sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wondering working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the two.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wondering, working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the third.
Now would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Now there is power, power, wondering, working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the last.
Now would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Now there is power, power, wondering, working power in the blood of the Lamb. Now there is power, power, wondering, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Glory to God. Amen. All right. For our last song today, we're going to sing I Surrender All on page what?
736.
736, I Surrender All. Hope you have, friend. Want to thank you for tuning in online. For those of you guys that are joining us, hope you guys can Google search these hymns, great hymns. They're all biblical and Bible-based, not about feelings and all the silly modern contemporary chains and rivers of water what do we call that, fog machines and all these weird things. I Surrender All, page 736. Amen. All right, on the one.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow, Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
On the fourth.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
On the last.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord.
I feel
the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen and glory to God. Let's go ahead and greet one another in love. Amen. Feel free to just give an elbow or a fist bump.
All right, welcome, welcome. This is Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Kwame. You can call me Brother Q. First and foremost, I want to say glory to God. Thank you, God, for the mothers. We couldn't do it without you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, especially my wife, Brittany. She's been holding it down for me while I'm in the military, doing an awesome and great job. I want to show her appreciation today. I'm going to go ahead and give some quick announcements over our webpage here. So please follow along so you can know how to navigate our site. So we have our home tab here, which shows our front page. On our front page, I'm going to show some key information here once I figure out the scrolling issue. Let's try this right here. There we go. All right, so on this home page, I want to show you our hours, okay, because this is the time and where we come and gather together. Thank God that it's getting a little more, we get a little more freedom from this whole COVID-19 epidemic. But so when things go back to normal, I hope and pray they do, Sunday school, 1 p.m. We have a 30-minute class. Work by Brother James Knox. We're going over called A Sure Foundation. Solid study. And we're almost finishing up that book, and we're going to start in another book. We want to continue to add to our faith knowledge. Amen. Then Sunday, again, at 1:45, we praise and worship God in spirit and in truth. It's an awesome time just to, again, worship God in spirit and in truth. And we do that, we do a quick announcement, and then we get straight back into the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is so powerful. The Word of God is what we need. It's a lamp unto our pathways, as it says in Psalms. So please continue. If you can't make it here, listen to the Word of God, rightly divide it. And with that being said, I definitely want to show you a couple other brothers who are doing the same thing after I go over a couple more regular schedule announcements. Again, so that's for Sunday. Wednesday at 7, we have our Bible study as well from 7-8:30. We also have one time out the week where we come together and we pray and we worship God in spirit and in truth. Saturdays are still on hold until it's fully opened up. As soon as it's fully opened up, we're going to get back out there and go ahead and represent and be ambassadors for Jesus Christ our Lord. We can do that. We don't have to just, you know, only depend on that day. We can do it throughout our days of the week. Hopefully you're doing that. Amen. All right. So moving right along, let's go to that good prayer tab. Prayer is very important. We want to pray for each other. Hopefully you're praying for each other. This is a tool right here we use just to pray for certain individuals as a church. Okay. So we can see your prayer requests on here online. It will be public, but if you don't want it public, let us know, and we'll just keep it within the body, and it won't be public. When I say public, I mean online, because everything posted will be seen online, be able to be seen online. So let us know if you don't want it publicly out there, and we'll make that adjustment for you. All right. Also, praise reports are also welcomed here, because we want to hear how good God has been in your life. So go ahead and utilize this here. And we also have a category box for you right there. All right. Moving right along. I think I want to minimize the screen, make it easy, more easy to navigate. But I don't want to mess up the flow. There we go. Okay. So now next we're going to talk about the live stream tab here. This live stream tab has all of our platforms that we are using to get our ministry and the Word of God out to the world. So with that being said, Facebook church page we have here. On that Facebook church page, you know, current events as well. And most importantly, that Facebook live feed. That Facebook live feed, you can watch us live on Facebook. All right. YouTube live also. So Facebook, YouTube live, Periscope live, podcast live. We're live everywhere. All right. So you utilize these here. Podcast is very useful for travel when you can't look at your phone. So please use that for that. All right. However you can get the Word of God, don't try to live without it. Don't try to live godly without it, because it's impossible to live godly without His Word. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and go to these last couple tabs. Just like I was saying before, I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're not the only ones preaching the Word of God. And a lot of these brothers have way, way more seasoned than we are. We have a lot of Bible teachers, Bible preachers, Bible historic teachers right here at your grabs. If you just click that Bible study tab there, you can see and listen to other brothers who are teaching the Word of God properly. Amen. All right, last tab I'm going to go over is the online giving tab. Again, it's between you and the Lord. I'm just here to let you know that it's available here for you to make it more convenient for you if you want to give to Simple Faith Baptist Church. But again, between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, again, He's looking at the heart. That's between you and Him, but He does love a cheerful giver. So if you would want to give to Simple Faith Baptist Church, again, all funds are going to this building. They're going to studies that we use to educate ourselves and educate the world. They're going to hymnals where we worship God in spirit and in truth. They're going to flyers and tracts where we're getting the gospel out. They're going to t-shirts where we can represent on the clothes we wear to spark a conversation for the gospel. Again, it's being used for ministry, but again, it's between you and the Lord. Whatever your purpose in your heart, it's just a tool for you to use, all right? With that being said, I'm going to welcome up my brother Carlos, and hopefully you came for the Word of God. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Welcome back. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Quamain. Anybody? All right. Praise God. Well, just like Brother Quamain said, happy Gentile Culture Day. And We want to thank God for this Gentile cultural celebration where Gentiles can spend their Gentile money on Gentile things. So with that said, happy Gentile Culture Day. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Somebody out there knows the truth. All right, my friends, welcome on back to church. We're going to continue in our study here. Do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 9, Romans the 9th chapter. And for those of you guys that came in, praise God, you guys may have noticed something different, something with amplification. We do want to thank God for the opportunity that we do have here to have purchased these speakers, because one of the blessings that came out of this is we get to use these speakers for the study and that we're doing on Friday nights. We have a visual, and it definitely is a blessing to see these things available to us today. For those of you guys who were unable to make it, we did have a blessing from last Friday night's movie night. We watched a really good movie titled Paul, an Apostle of Christ. It was really touching just to get a visual understanding of what we read in the Bible. Now, just like the majority of movies, they're not going to be 100% biblical to the T, but this was fairly well. I really did like it. It really stirred my heart, brought some tears to see Paul's life at the end. Became an old man in prison, wrote some letters, and towards the end of Paul's life, you guys can read there in 2 Timothy that only Luke was with him. So it's kind of sad that a lot of people left Paul, but the one that never left his side, we know ultimately, was the Lord Jesus himself. But he got beheaded according to church tradition, and so it was just sad to see that ending to his life. But he had a joy because of all that the Lord has done with him and promised him, so we definitely got some encouragement from that movie night. Every other Friday night, we're going to continue meeting here to watch the Creation Seminar. Hope to see you guys here this Friday night at 6:30. And then Wednesday night, we had a great prayer night last night. I do encourage the members of our church to come to prayer night so we can set apart some time to the Lord. We give 40 hours a week to the man to earn a living from the Gentiles to pay us, and we give some time to family. But you know what? Why don't we set apart more, become more a little bit more serious in our relationship with God as a church body? Wednesday night is time for prayer, and it was really good this past Saturday. So with that said, Romans chapter number 9. Hope you guys have a Bible. If you guys can turn there with me, I'd greatly appreciate that. We're just having some technical difficulties as it pertains to one of our streaming platforms. I'm not sure what's going on. Oh, okay. Brother Taz is super spiritual. He has a lightsaber, and he's making the sound effect for his page turning. There you go. For his little thumb swipes down there. Okay. Amen. Let's try this one more time. We're having technical difficulties with one of our social media platforms that we try to get the word out, but if it doesn't work this time, then we will just not worry about it and let it go as it is. Let's try that there. Got the whistle from Brother Kwame's phone. Let's see how long that lasts. Okay, so those of you guys who were with us last week, we started the Bible book of Romans chapter number 9. We're getting into some great areas of God's word as it pertains to the New Testament church and the doctrine given unto the apostles, specifically through the apostle Paul, as he was given more information as it pertains to the nation of Israel, God's outlook on their future, and how that how that relates to the church and the relationship status between God and Israel, God and the church, God and the Gentiles. Romans 9 through 11 lays out without any argument that God is not done with the nation of Israel as a people. As a nation, they are spiritually blinded according to the word, according to Christ himself. It doesn't mean that individually speaking, Jews cannot get saved. They can on an individual basis, but what the scripture seems to denote is on a national recognition as an entire people group. They are blinded. Their heart has been hardened because they rejected the Messiah. But God is not going to be through with them, because at some point, as we're going to find out, God told them back in their law that if they turn from him and they reject his commandments, they want to act like the Gentiles around them, God is going to allow curses to come upon them, the Gentile armies to overwhelm them, to rule over them as a physical, I guess you could just say, repercussion to their sin. But because he made a promise to one man by the name of Abraham, He's not going to give up on his promise to them as it pertains to them inheriting the physical land of Canaan. So there are a lot of cultural interpretations to the people of Israel. There are a lot of spiritual interpretations from Christendom, from early church fathers and the Reformation era, and that want to put in some extra information into the text that we don't see there. And so we're going to continue to observe as we leave the Bible text alone to get our ideas from it, that this is how God has dealt with them as a people group. So this is going to be our part one of Romans chapter 9, verse 4. As you can see, we have a couple of things that Paul is going to allude to that is given to the people of Israel, and we're going to talk about those one at a time. And so as we can see here, just opening up, Paul the Apostle says in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites. Do you see that? To whom, this is talking about Israel, pertaineth, number one, the adoption. Number two, the glory. Number three, the covenants. Number four, the giving of the law. Number five, the service of God. Number six, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Now I add that point seven on my own, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the wonderful and blessed name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We do worship him. We desire to honor the words as found in our scriptures, to meditate on, to hear the preaching, to be faithful to the gathering of the saints and our giving and our taking of communion to honor you today, Lord, to remember your death on that cross. We thank you for the scriptures. We pray that you would continue to teach us from your mouth. I'm just the vessel. Remove me out of the way, Lord. And may the Holy Ghost give us eyes to see and ears to hear wonderful things from thy holy word, the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to end the service a little bit to give enough time for the supper of communion. We're going to honor the Lord in that area. And if it gets a little too warm, brother, the AC controller is right there. Okay, so number one, let's go back up to verse four. The scripture states here that the kinsmen of Paul, according to the flesh, are the Israelites. We talked about that last Sunday. We saw how Paul the Apostle said that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said specifically that he was a Benjamite. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. So the scriptures clearly prove to us the point that, number one, at the time of Paul's writing of the book of Romans, give or take around 58 to 60 AD, the people of Israel were known. The people of Israel were clearly recognized, and they were not quote-unquote lost. There was a lot of people that approach the Bible in regards to the people of Israel that they are a lost people group. They call them the lost 12 tribes. God never lost them. What he's done is he has reproved them, he's rebuked them through the prophets, through the New Testament apostles, and he has departed from them as it pertains to his personal presence in the temple. And other than that, it's quite sad to see that he unfortunately allows those things to happen. But that's the reality of the consequence to Israel in the flesh. So just remember that as God deals with them, we see that he has done this on purpose. But they should not be surprised as it pertains to where they're at as a people group, that they are powerless. They are under the control of the Gentile. Right now, Israel cannot do anything without permission of the world, in other words. So all that stuff that you see physically as it pertains to Israel, it's sad to see, but they should know better because they had their God's laws written in stone. They had no question. They had no doubt to see, okay, what does God want from us or not? They totally rejected it. So as a consequence, this is what God has responded to them up until this time. But again, the Bible proves wrong the teaching that God has forsaken Israel as a people and replaced them with the church. God has not forsaken them. He has corrected them. He has condemned their actions. He has judged them, and he will judge them one more time as a national people through the great seven-year tribulation that we call Daniel's 70th week. But until then, they are still his people. They are still his elect because he made one promise to one man by the name of Abraham. We're going to get into all that detail today. But the first thing we're going to talk about here today, friend, is we can see in verse number 4, the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption. We're going to see how God adopted Israel out of every other civilized people group on the planet at the time since man was created. So from Adam all the way to Abraham, we're going to see how he's dealt with this people by calling out one man by the name of Abraham out of a land of Mesopotamia in Ur of the Chaldees, and he gave him great promises to not only him but to his seed, that is his descendants after him. And we're going to see how God adopted this people out of all the peoples on the planet and gave them these specific, real, and awesome promises that no other people on the planet have but the Israelites. We're going to see clearly from God's word that these laws, all these wonderful promises, were not given to the Africans, the Chinese, the Aztec Mexicans, or I'm sorry, the Aztecs, the Mexicans, the Incans, the Mayans, and all the other eons of civilized people that have lived throughout time. These were specifically given to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so to cover the first of seven, we're going to talk about the adoption today. But go down here to verse number 5. Remember how I said earlier that I made a point number 7 on purpose? Look at what the scripture says here. Bible says, whose are the fathers? Who is Paul referring to? He's referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are what we call the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And of whom, so from these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. So the Messiah, who is the Lord of all, remember Acts chapter 10, Peter telling Cornelius, of whom all these great promises come through the people of Israel, Jesus Christ was born a Jew. He came through the people group of the Jews. And look at what the scripture says. Christ is over all. And who is he, according to verse 5? God, blessed forever. Now, why do I point that out? Because if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they have a different Bible. It's not a real Bible. It's a book. But open up their book to Romans 9:5. And ironically, in the same verse, the way that their text lays it out, it'll state very similar to our King James Bible. You can prove the deity of Jesus Christ from Romans 9:5 to the Jehovah's Witness. Check them, slap them upside the head, tell them to get plugged into our church and get them converted so they can go to heaven and not hell when they die. But Jesus Christ is God overall, but as pertaining to the flesh, remember that humanity side of Christ that we talked about at Sunday school? He became a Jew because to the Jews were given all those promises that we read about in verse 4. And it was through the Jew that God would bring salvation to the world. All right, so let's get on our Bible train, and we're going to start here in Acts chapter 7. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Acts chapter number 7. Or not, just feel free to hang out there, that's cool. Acts chapter number 7. The Bible says here, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said. Now who is talking here? Go back one chapter with me to Acts chapter 6, and let's go down here to verse number 8. Bible says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they, these people from all these different parts and places, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake, talking about Stephen. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So what did the people do? Because they couldn't resist Stephen's words. What they did was they had a false accusation, and they somehow, some way, manipulated men to lie in order to get this guy arrested by the Jewish officers because they accused him of speaking against Moses. Bible says in verse 12, they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. and set up false witnesses. You see there, verse 13, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place. So what? The temple. And the law, the writings of Moses from Genesis to Deuteronomy. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place. Now, did he say that? No, that's a lie. And shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Did he say that? No, that's a lie. So two false accusations. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now go with me to Acts 7. We know what's going on. Here's the council. They're in Jerusalem. The high priest is talking to Stephen. Are these things so? Now look at Stephen's response. Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. Remember like Paul said in Romans 9:1? Man, he has continual sorrow, continual grief in his heart because of his kinsmen according to the flesh, the Israelites, right? Stephen is a Jew. He's calling them men, brethren, fathers. He's appealing to them with that respectful culture. You know, that reverence you appeal to your people group, right? Look at this next part. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. So first thing that we need to recognize, go back to the book of Genesis chapter number 12. We're going to see how the people of Israel all started by this one man by the name of Abraham. So Romans 9 is going to remind Christians that Jesus Christ is the God of glory. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of Israel. So, yes, not only did he die on the cross for their sins, remember Romans, he's writing to Gentiles who got saved, and so they are being reminded by Paul, an apostle, a Hebrew in the flesh, nevertheless a Christian, and as the Holy Ghost has given him inspiration, he's reminding him of Israel. This is where all started from. This is where all this originates from. It originates from the people of Israel, but it all started by this one man by the name of Abraham. So we're going to go back in time for a history lesson on the people of Israel. Who are they? Where did they get started? They got started by this man by the name of Abraham. Bible continues to stay here. When he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Two things I want to point out to you. Number one, look at what the scripture says. Bible says that God said unto him, when he was in Mesopotamia. Turn your Bible with me to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, look at what verse number 1 says. Now the Lord, are you ready now? Had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. King James Bible, praise God, one more time. Stephen is telling the council after Christ's life, death, crucifixion, ascension, he's empowered by the Holy Ghost, he's witnessing the gospel to the Jews, and he's telling the Jews that God spoke to our father while he was still in Mesopotamia. So now, again, we're going to do some more history. Abraham was a Gentile. He was an ordinary guy when God first spoke to him. And where was he living at the time? In the land of Mesopotamia. God spoke to him while he was still in that land. That's why Genesis 12:1, King James Bible, now the Lord had said. Man, I learned some great stuff from Brother Sam Gibb. Praise God for that, for this good studies. Let's go. Let's keep going in Acts chapter 7. Hope you have your Bible bookmarked there. The Bible says here that God spoke to him, and he said that he was going to show him a land. You see, verse 3, come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. Charan is the Greek literal transliteration of the word Haran. Haran, we're going to see that back there in Genesis. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So Abraham didn't go by himself. His daddy went. We're going to find out. Once his father died, then he went into the land of Canaan. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised, this is talking about God, that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. You see, when God called Abraham, while he was in Mesopotamia, he was just a regular Gentile Mesopotamian person. And when God gave him these promises, Abraham had two choices. One, he could either believe this supernatural encounter from this being that claims to be the God of all creation, or B, he could have rejected and just continued to live life in Mesopotamia. Abraham exercised faith in God's word when it came to him. Turn with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going a little out of order in my book from my notes, but I think it's important to recognize these bullet points before we continue with the notes. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start here in verse number 8. Watch this now. The scripture says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, let me go ahead and get the, there we go. Let me go ahead and space this out a little bit. Oh, let me space it out just a little bit more. There we go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Do you see that? Stephen and the writer of Hebrews on the same page. Look at what it says. He obeyed. Do you like that? And he went out, watch this now, not knowing whither he went. You see, the founding of Israel started on what principle? Faith. Israel is a people of faith. Their founding father followed God. He did not know where he was going. Holy Ghost told us through the writer of Hebrews. He didn't know where he was going. But Abraham obeyed God's word, and he followed wherever the word of God told him to go. He didn't know where he was going. So ultimately, and most importantly from today's lesson, I want you to remember that the people of Israel are people of faith. They started off because one man was willing to trust God by faith, not knowing where he was going to go. Keep going in Hebrews 11. Look at what verse 9 says. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, because that's what it was. He was from Mesopotamia. He was from a little north. He wasn't familiar with this land of Canaan. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, so the promise is going to continue through Isaac and Jacob. We're going to talk about that. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, plural, whose builder and maker is God. Now, why is that important? Go back up to verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned. He didn't permanently plant himself. You know what sojourning means? You're traveling along the way. He just kept going and going and going because he's looking for something greater and bigger than this land. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit later of lessons. So now let's go back to Acts chapter 7. Bible says here, God spake on this wise that he should... And God spoke on this wise in verse number 6, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. So now he's going to get into the part as it pertains to the descendants as they get brought under the governing power of Egypt and so on and so forth. But let's go back now in our study, in our notes here. So we see here Stephen is a disciple of the first century. He was the first martyr for our Lord and Savior. And he's speaking by the empowerment of the Holy Ghost when confronting the Hebrew council there in Jerusalem. Now remember what Acts told us earlier in chapter 6, verse 8, that Stephen was doing miracles and great wonders. According to 1 Corinthians 1:22, that the sign is given for the Jew. So God is doing his best to reach his people, the Jews, to get them to trust in Jesus. So God is desirous to reach him. His physical called out people, because just like the Apostle Peter quoted and stated earlier in Acts 3, 11 through 26, we're going to get there. He states in Acts 3, 26, that unto you first. So let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter number 3. And let's go ahead and rehearse what Peter is also telling the Jews. We're going to start here in verse number 11. Because this goes hand in hand with today's doctrinal understanding that the people of Israel started with this one man by the name of Abraham. So after this supernatural miracle that, again, God did by signs, miracles, and wonders to convince the Jew to trust in Christ as the Messiah, the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, is greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power of holiness we have made this man to walk?" Watch this, verse 13. "The God of Abraham." So, who do the people of Israel start from? Abraham. You guys with me so far? "And of Isaac." The promise continues to his seed. Do we not already see that from Acts 7 and Hebrews and Genesis? "And of Jacob, the God of our fathers." So there you go. The context there is the patriarchy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "Hath glorified his son, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Notice what Paul calls Jesus here. He calls him the Holy One and the Just. Later on in Acts chapter 7, we're going to see Stephen say the very same thing, that ye denied the Just One. But keep going. Peter calls him the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You see, the Jew, that's their number one struggle, is that they deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They did not necessarily deny the miracles done by him, because the New Testament evangelists bear record that the Pharisees understood clearly that miracles were done by Christ. They rejected him, that he was the full Messiah, because of what he claimed to be, which was the Son of God. And number two, the resurrection. But Peter says that his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see now, see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer. So you guys remember that, what Paul said in Romans 9? Of whom pertaining to the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. According to Peter's testimony, he's reminding these Jews that God promised Jesus to come through them, through their people. And what did they prophesy? That Christ should suffer. Isn't that amazing? There is no difference between Peter and Paul's preaching, according to some of our fundamental brethren. Bible says he hath so fulfilled. So now he's redirecting the attention of these Jews to the scriptures concerning Jesus. Keep going to verse number 20. "He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." And then he quotes Moses. We're going to talk about him a little bit later, but nevertheless, Moses is prophesying to the nation of Israel about Jesus coming. Verse 22. Go all the way down with me here to verse number 25. Peter states, "Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers." So who is Peter addressing? The Israelites, Jews in the flesh, because unto them, according to Paul's writing, were given the adoption, the covenants, the promises, etc. Not the Gentile, to the Jew. But praise God that the Gentile would be offered to be a partaker of this great salvation that would come through Jesus. But look at what he says. saying unto Abraham. You guys see that? Stephen, Paul, Peter, who do they all address as the first man that began this people group of the nation of Israel? Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. It all stems from this one man by the name of Abraham. And not only that, but by Abraham's life, by Abraham's obedience, by Abraham's faith, the truth that God revealed to him and that understanding, we're going to see so much New Testament doctrine built upon this man before he became a Jew ethnically by the sign of circumcision. All this was given Abraham by promise while he was a Gentile, before the sign of circumcision, coming out of that land of Mesopotamia. So Peter says, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. What does Paul end with, or I'm sorry, Peter end with here? Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Praise God. That's what he did. He raised up the Messiah through the tribe of Judah to be the one that would suffer for their sins, according to the prophets. You can read Isaiah 53 and 55. In turning away every one of you from his iniquities, but again, we know that sadly they rejected. So what do we learn from Peter's testimony in Acts 3? It all started with Abraham. It all started with the covenant that God made with Abraham. So now we're going to see this order of truth revealed in regards to the revelation of salvation. First, the Jew, then the Gentile, according to Romans 1:16. When the Lord Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, and he was fulfilling his public work of ministry that we found out in Sunday school was led by the Holy Spirit, his first priority dealt with reaching these physically called out people, the Israelites. Do me a favor, and let's go ahead and turn our Bible first to the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10. This is why studying the Word of God and rightly dividing it is very, very important, because if you don't know how to rightly divide this book, it'll seem confusing when you do see Jesus reject certain people at certain times. Because of what? Prophecy. The timing of certain things needed to be fulfilled. Matthew 10, the Lord is going to call the 12 unto him, and he's going to give them power to cast out sicknesses and diseases in verse number 1, and unclean spirits. We name the apostles from verse 2 all the way through verse 4. Now watch this in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Do you see that? And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus clearly came first for the Jew, because unto them pertained the adoption, the covenants, the promises. God's primary focus was that Hebrew, that Israelite. He first sent his disciples to go preaching in the land of Israel the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And what followed the kingdom of heaven were signs, miracles, and wonders to convince them that Christ was the Messiah. But simultaneously, here's what's wild. Again, rightly divided in the Word of God. In the book of Mark and the book of Luke, he sends 70 disciples. And they're sent everywhere preaching the kingdom of God. And at the end of Christ's life, death, resurrection, you know what he tells the disciples, except for Judas, because, you know, that brother went and hung himself. He tells them to go out into all the world. So I'm telling you, you got to understand the first primary focus of what he came to fulfill and establish before his death on that cross and then thereafter. Israel rejected. God said, okay, I'm going to pronounce spiritual blindness. The scriptures are fulfilled. This was what was foretold. But now, for this split second in time, there's 1 week waiting the people of Israel according to Daniel. That seventh week. There's a split time in between. It's like a pause, if you will, in a movie. He told his disciples, it's not just Jerusalem now, fellas. It's going to be Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. I want you to go now preaching to all nations repentance and faith in my name for the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't now limit the preaching of God's revelation just to the kingdom of heaven for the Jew in the land. It's now this spiritual kingdom that could dwell in people's hearts if they were to trust him by faith as Savior. And that gospel is to be sent all over the place. So I just want you to see, again, to the Jew first. Why? Because God gave him the promises, because it started with one man, Abraham, and to his seed. But until we get to Christ, you got to understand all these other things before you get to Jesus, and that's what we're trying to do today. Part one of it. In Matthew 15 and Mark 7, I'd like to show you these two things. Matthew chapter 15, in verse number 26. As a matter of fact, why don't we read here in verse number 21. Bible says here, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Lo, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Do you see that? Jesus straight up ignored this woman pleading help. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cried after us. You know, because they thought they were cool, like Jesus. She was only there for Jesus. She didn't really pay no mind to the disciples. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, God the Father sent his Son into this world to fulfill a primary role as Messiah to the people of Israel. There were certain things that he needed to fulfill first for the Jew that was not for the Gentile. That's why unto them pertaineth all these things that were not given to any other people group on the planet. Sorry about that. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Who are the children? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who are the dogs? The Gentiles. That's why when we read last Sunday in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, remember that when you were Gentiles in the flesh, you were, you know, blind, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, you are without God, without hope in this world, you are totally separate from the children of God, the Israelites. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what this woman did? She humbled herself. She clearly understood, Israel is higher than me. I understand, Lord. But Lord, I'm willing to take whatever after you're done with the feeding of the children. If there's any crumbs, Lord, I'm going to humble myself as a dog. I'm willing to say, I know these are your people. I know that they have the higher preeminence here. If there's anything left over, Lord, I'm willing to just take what you got. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Mark records the very similar interaction there in Mark chapter number 7 in verse number 25 and 26, very similar. A certain woman in verse 25 whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, so now we know, a Syrophoenician by nation, now we know. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her. And look at what he said here. Let the children first be filled. So who, according to the Bible text that we've seen from Peter's testimony in Acts chapter 3, Stephen's testimony in Acts chapter 7, Paul's testimony in Romans 1:16, unto who first pertains this offer of God's forgiveness, salvation, and truth? The Jew, the Israelite. Gentiles, Mexicans, blacks, whites, everything in between, and wherever you want to identify your ethnicity, you are dogs. We were not that good, according to God. We're just lost in this world. Satan was our God through our forefathers, worshiping the stars, the trees, the rocks. God had given the people of Israel his law on tables of stone. They knew exactly who he was. They had no question. The Gentile, you and I, our forefathers, is God the sun? Let's offer sacrifice. Is God the waters? Let's offer the water sacrifice. You know, we're worshiping everything out there. But we learn this great lesson. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Praise God for his grace. Amen. To the Gentile as well. So we know that first the Lord said he was not sent but unto the house of Israel for the recipients. They have the primary or the priority, if you would, of salvation because of the promise given to Abraham, their father. Let's go back to Acts 7 and see the next part that we're going to talk about here in verse number 2, the God of glory. Do you see that? I won't get too into it today. I'll just quote them so that way you can later on rehearse this video and see it. The only reason that glory pertained to the people of Israel is not because of anything they personally possessed, but because their God was glorious. You can read in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, Psalm chapter 24, 7 through 10, Psalm chapter 89, verses 17 through 18. He is the glory of Israel. And therefore, Israel has a glory from God because he is their God. Stephen continues in verse number 2 that the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. So we can see that Israel began from the patriarch Abraham, and we'll study more of this soon. But when Abraham was in Mesopotamia, so we must remember, prior to Israel becoming a specific, distinct people from the nations, God called out Abraham while he himself was ethnically, culturally, and spiritually a Gentile. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 4. Romans, the 4th chapter. Paul, we already talked about this in our past studies, but look at what he states here starting in verse number 9. Paul says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? This blessedness that Paul's referring to is the grace of God to forgive a man's sin by his grace. You can see there from verses 1 and onward. The circumcision throughout the New Testament is a reference to the Jews. The uncircumcision is a reference to the Gentile. For what does the Bible say here? For we say, now look at Paul saying, we. You see, he wasn't alone. The apostles recognized back there in Acts 15 that God's salvation was merited by grace, by faith throughout time. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Do you see that? How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Did God impute righteousness to Abraham as a Gentile still prior to being circumcised or after? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That's good. So before Abraham responded to the covenant that God made with him of circumcision, he had already been justified by faith while he was still uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. How about that? That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So do you see the Bible doctrine there? The imputation of the righteousness of God was given to Abraham by faith without works. Number one. Number two, Moses came thousands of years later, hundreds, give or take. So there was no commandment 1 through 10 or sacrifice to offer. And number three, in Genesis 15, where he was justified, unto him was imputed righteousness. That's what we call the imputation of righteousness It wasn't until Genesis 17 that he was circumcised. So what is Paul arguing? He is able to save the Jew who's circumcised. He's able to save the Gentile who's not circumcised because he had already been justified by faith. So not only can Abraham represent the people of Israel as a people group thereafter, but he can represent you and I as a Gentile because he was justified as a Gentile. Praise God for that. Verse number 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Look at what it says there in verse 12. Walk in the steps of what? That faith. Do you see that? So here's what's cool. As we learn more about Israel, we learn about their origin, we learn about their founding. There's so many more notes that we don't have time to get into. We have to go back in history thousands of years ago, all based off one man by the name of Abraham. And within the first couple of years of his life, can you and I imagine, church, God would clearly define the gospel by faith for the salvation of human soul based off one man's obedience, Abraham. While he was a Gentile, he trusted God by faith, not knowing where he was going. He did it anyways. God imputed unto him righteousness. New Testament doctrine is built upon Abraham's faith and God's word. The people of Israel would come. God would supernaturally bless Abraham with a seed. We know that Isaac would continue to be blessed of God because God would appear to him and say, hey, I'm the God of your father, Abraham. I'm going to promise you this. When Isaac had his boys, Jacob, God continued that revelatory process of continuing the promise given to Abraham. Jacob's boys, we know they had 12. Through one of the lineage of the boys, Judah, came Christ. And so by the time Christ gets to this earth, hundreds of years, I know I'm skipping all the prophets and the judges, but here's the point. As we study about Romans 9:4 about Israel, we can clearly see that Israel was founded by faith. My closing point is this. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 3 and Galatians 2. Hebrews chapter 3 and Galatians 2. This is something that I discovered. Praise God. I don't want to get spiritual, but tell you that the Lord showed me this. You know how those brothers get, but I guess I can say it because Baptists say it, so I guess that's okay, right? The Lord showed me this, brother, from the Word of God. Progressive revelation studies, as we're doing, the Holy Spirit reveals to us through the writer of Hebrews that Abraham did not know where he was going. We saw that earlier, but by faith he pursued the Word of God. We see from Romans 4 that God justified Abraham by faith while he was yet uncircumcised. All the origin story of the people of Israel stems from faith. Now notice, church, what you and I can learn from this people. The people that were founded on and by faith. The church, us as Christians, we too are founded by a man's faith. Hebrews chapter 3, look at what it says. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says here, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Who was that referring to, guys? God the Father. Come on, church, are you with me? As also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Talking about the man who? Christ Jesus. Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house, are you ready now, is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, praise God, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You know what your Bible says? Jesus is the builder of this house that we call the church. He is the head of that thing. And how did he found it? He founded it upon faith. Go with me to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Look at what Paul the Apostle says here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, are you ready, church? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whoa, nobody got it? I guess the Spirit only wanted me to know that. No. What do we see, church? This should be exciting. Israel, founded by a man of faith. The church, founded by a man of faith. Abraham believed God, didn't know where he was going. Jesus Christ humbled himself and obeyed God unto the point of death. And upon him would God the Father build this spiritual kingdom called the church, of which Jew and Gentile can both be partakers based off Abraham's example of faith, as we can see as we learn church doctrine from Paul in Romans 4. Just like Abraham, he believed God, you too can be saved. Christ was faithful and obedient unto God the Father. He's building this house called a church. Israel was built upon the house of faith, and they're all going to have their expected outcome. Why? Because God is faithful who promised. What did God the Father promise the Son? That unto as many come unto him, he will give them what? Eternal life. That's what Jesus said in the book of John. Abraham, I'm gonna make you a father of many nations, and you, through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. God is the source then, church, of Israel. He's the source of us, the church. So whatever he promised Israel, it's still going to come to pass. Amen? And whatever he's promised us as Christians, a home in heaven, a heavenly inheritance, forgiveness of all our sins, he's also going to fulfill, because he promised that to his boy, Jesus. So today, friends, let's prepare ourselves for communion as Brother Kwamein distributes the elements. And we're going to rejoice together in this faithful God that we serve. We want to thank you for tuning in online. We hope and pray that today's message was a blessing and encouragement to you. Please join us for next week in our Bible study fellowship that we will possibly join Pastor Josh from Bible Believers Baptist Church in El Cajon. And we look forward to seeing you soon. The Lord bless you.